I've written an open letter to Jerry Falwell Jr., and I want to talk to you about the difference between patriotism and the kingdom of God. Oh, and we've got some controversies to tackle today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I want to say plainly that I take positions not based on how they are going to play out, not based on what kind of results I'll get, not based on whether this will make me more popular or less popular. I take positions based on what I feel is right in God's sight. And if it's right in God's sight, I'm convinced it's best for the church and the world as well. So you may like me for what I do or not, but I'm going to do my best to be honest and straightforward and not play politically correct games. This is Michael Brown, and you're listening to the Line of Fire broadcast. To get in the discussion today, number to call is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Jerry Falwell Jr., president of Liberty University, has endorsed Donald Trump. One of his friends contacted me, was in a state of shock over it. His brother Jonathan Falwell, who pastors the church that Jerry Falwell Sr. used to pastor, Thomas Road Baptist, he tweeted something out that would give the impression that he wasn't overly excited about his brother's endorsement. Tony Perkins has come out and endorsed Ted Cruz. Senator Rubio has gotten some new endorsements. What does it all mean? We'll sort it out. And I do want to focus on this issue of patriotism versus the kingdom of God. Yes, I said versus. Patriotism versus the kingdom of God. So I do want to talk to you about that as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Last night, I wrote an open letter to Jerry Falwell Jr., respectfully and honoring him, and of course with great esteem for Liberty University. You can read that by going to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. It's on a bunch of different sites, and it's getting a good amount of attention. And I've had a good number of leaders write to me, thank me for writing the article. So you can read that online. I'll share some of that with you as well. A bunch of things, a whole bunch of things to talk to you about. Rachel Maddow going after Mike Bickle, who has endorsed Ted Cruz, and then going after Ted Cruz for touting the endorsement of Mike Bickle. Is it a legitimate controversy? And then just looking at my list here, the pragmatism question. Is this a right approach to things? Well, I don't like this candidate, but I think they've got the best opportunity or the best chance of beating Hillary Clinton. Therefore, I'm going to vote for them, even though they're not my top candidate. Is that the right strategy? Is that a strategy that's really going to get us anywhere? So let me just pause on that note for one moment and present something to you. Do you believe that our country needs a radical about face in many ways? Yes or no? Do you believe that in many ways our country needs a radical about face? Or maybe it's minor changes, or hey, we're heading in the right direction. If you believe we need a radical change, radical turnaround, radical about face, if you do believe that, then that would mean that whoever you want to vote for, because the president's only going to be part of that, right? The biggest change is going to have to be the grassroots, because it has to be the church, the people of God awakening. But if you really believe that, then anyone who is going to be part of the current establishment is not going to be able to bring about radical change. So that would be another factor that I would factor in. But the pragmatism approach means that you may not vote for the best person and work to see the best person elected. And that may mean that you're choosing to settle for second best just by default. All right, we come back. Patriotism versus the kingdom of God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. All right, I want to talk to you for a moment about the issue of patriotism versus the kingdom of God and how there can often be a conflict between the two that we as Americans are normally not conscious of. Why? Because we associate America with a history founded on Judeo-Christian principles, with whatever faults we've had as a nation through the centuries. Still, those are our roots. And the pilgrims who came over here came fleeing for religious freedom. And America, through much of its history, has been a very religious people. So we often think of America, God bless America, Christian restoration, taking America back for God. Patriotism and the kingdom of God, we often think of as overlapping, but there can be a real danger with that. And I just want to address that briefly. Let's think, for example, if you lived in Roman rule. You're a Christian in the first century, somewhere living in the Roman Empire. Where is your first allegiance? Is it to the lordship of Caesar, or is it to the lordship of Jesus? In point of fact, as a Christian, you would be tested in this way. You would be tested. You would have to confess Caesar as Lord and offer incense or sacrifice to him. And if you wouldn't, you could pay for it with your life to testify and say, Jesus is Lord. Therefore, to be a witness could cost you your life. And the Greek word for witness became the English word for martyr, because to testify for Jesus cost you your life. Do you think that the believers got together and said, let's pray for the Roman Empire to be the biggest and the best it could ever be? Or do you think they were consumed with, let's go and make disciples? Let's go everywhere and make disciples, whatever the cost, whatever the consequence. They honored the authorities, unless the authorities told them to disobey God, but they did not wear, say, flags of the Roman Empire or have a flag of the Roman Empire, if there was such a thing that they would have a flag of the Roman Empire in their house group meetings. You follow what I'm saying, right? So let's say that you are a Jewish person living in Babylon during the exile, like Daniel was. Well, you understood the directions, the directives from the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29, where God instructed the people, stay there. You're going to be there for a while. False prophets telling you you're coming right back. It's not going to happen. You're going to be there. It's a 70-year captivity. So build your houses and take care of your families and pray for the shalom, the well-being, the blessing of God on Babylon, because as Babylon prospers, you'll prosper. But do you think that they had flags of Babylon in their meetings when they would pray together as Jews? And do you think they talked about God bless Babylon in that patriotic way, or realize, okay, we're in exile. We want to get home. We want to get home as quickly as possible. But here's where we are right now. We are strangers in exile. We are aliens. So we're praying for the well-being of that nation, because as it does well, we do well, but we want to get back home for sure. Well, it's different here in America because it's not Babylon in that sense. It's not Rome in that sense. We were founded on religious freedoms. We were founded on certain Judeo-Christian principles. The founding fathers, studies have been done of their writings on a large range of issues and everything pertaining to nationhood and statehood and vision for America. Scholars have researched these and seen that the number one document they quote and reference is the Bible. After that, some famous law books, but the number one book by far that they reference, that they talk about, is the Bible. And schools, one reason schools were founded in America was that kids would be able to read so that they could read the Bible. So this is part of our history, not a theocracy, but a very religious people and nation, often backsliding, often with sin, often corrupt in certain ways, but still founded on certain Judeo-Christian principles. Even the modern definition of separation of church and state would have been very foreign through much of our history. So it's very easy to merge these two things. And hey, America has been a force for good in the world. Where would the world be if America didn't get involved, say, in World War II? And America has done humanitarian work around the world. And America has sent missionaries around the world. It's very easy for us then to just kind of merge patriotism and the kingdom of God. But in point of fact, the two are still distinctly different. America is still of this world. And as the people of God, as New Testament people of God, we live in every nation, be it communist China, be it communist Russia under Stalin, be it the United States of America, whatever the nation is, we still live as people who are passing through, whose citizenship, according to Philippians 3, whose citizenship is in heaven. And our mandate is to seek first the kingdom of God. All of us, no matter who we are, that's our mandate. Do we pray for America's well-being? Of course, even on the simple principle of the Jews in Babylon. You pray for the well-being of the country because as it does well, you do well. And 1 Timothy 2, the principle, it doesn't matter where you are, what king, whoever's over you, you pray for them, you pray for their salvation, and you pray for them so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and honesty, so that we can live out our faith and be a blessing and win the lost and make disciples and help those in need without constant government interference and persecution. That's how we live. That's part of the gospel. But there's a difference between that and USA, USA, USA. I'm proud of our country in many ways. I honor our soldiers on the field now and our veterans who fought and served. Of course, I honor them and respect them deeply for their sacrifices. And yes, there are so many things that are good that America stands for, but we are the world still. We are full of corruption, full of sin. I could go through a litany of things in which we lead the world in sinful categories. So my prayer is not primarily, God bless America, make us bigger, make us better, make us stronger, but your kingdom come to America and bring us to repentance for our many sins so that we may be blessed and then be a blessing to the nations. Now, why do I bring this up during a presidential election season? It's because it is dangerous if we put patriotism first and the kingdom of God second. In other words, if we have the notion that we need to elect someone who can make America bigger and better without addressing the fundamental problems in our nation, which are moral more than they are economic. They are moral more than they are issues of security or immigration or national or international policy and a wide range of issues. They are moral more than anything. For example, if we don't elect a president who is absolutely set on doing helping bring about a radical change with regard to Roe v. Wade and elect the right Supreme Court justices in an uncompromising way that can lead us, as best as we can tell, in a right direction in the coming decades, that then we can't even think about economy being better or military being stronger. Those things may happen, but ultimately that's the hidden things beneath the surface, that weak moral underbelly, everything will be exposed. If we don't have someone that is really going to address the issue of marriage and homosexual activism, we'll be missing the boat. So our values must reflect first kingdom of God. Here, in our own homes, isn't that how we live? What's more important, that you have a solid relationship with your spouse and you're devoted to your kids, or that you're filthy rich? What's more important, that you're living your life in humility and the fear of the Lord and being a blessing to those around you, or that you're mega famous? I'm just talking generically here. Question, we know the answers to these. We need to vote and act and think and make business decisions and family decisions and education decisions, all based on kingdom of God first values. If we put patriotism first, if we put nationalism first and kingdom of God second, we will make a big mistake. Now, this last point. Ted Cruz said, I'm a Christian first, American second. Marco Rubio has said things, not those identical words, but similar things. Dr. Ben Carson, Governor Mike Huckabee, others unashamed of their faith, speaking out plainly. And yeah, they would say, Christian is first, that following Jesus, that comes first. Well, there's an article in Daily Coast, very liberal website, by Ian Reifowitz. And he says, putting the politics of this aside, I want to highlight here something we might call Christian privilege. Could you imagine, for example, a Jewish candidate for president saying that he or she was a Jew first and American second? Well, if the candidate was a religious Jew, I'd expect that. I would expect that. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a religious Jew. Now, imagine the sheer outrage if a Muslim American of any prominence whatsoever declared that he or she was Muslim first and American second. People's heads would explode. Okay, great point, sir. But here's the thing. our country was not founded on Sharia law or the Quran or Islamic principles. I would expect a true committed Muslim to say, I'm a Muslim first and American second. I'd expect a true committed Jew to say it. I'd expect a true committed Christian to say it. But for a Christian to say it in particular, even for a Jew to say it, but for a Christian to say it in particular is in complete harmony with our founding fathers and their vision for the nation. If we put the kingdom of God first, we can see a patriotism rise up that is wholesome and good and can be a blessing to the world. If we put patriotism first and miss the kingdom of God, it could be disastrous. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get your feedback. We'll take your calls. We've got some interesting audio clips for you as well. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Evangelical leader Jerry Falwell Jr. is officially endorsing Donald Trump for president. Falwell says he is picking Trump because of his success as an executive.
Now if that was all there was to it, and Jerry Falwell Jr. was simply saying that, look, I'm not looking at Donald Trump as a Christian in any way. I have questions about his character, as others obviously would. But I think we need an executive, a businessman, an executive that can get things done, and that's why I'm endorsing him. I still would have differed, but I have to differ all the more when he puts the character and Christian values thing in there. I mean, that's what really concerns me. 866-34-TRUTH. We are going to go to your calls in one moment. So look, think of this for a minute. The Christians in ancient Rome, do you think that they had like a Rome flag pin that they wore? Do you think that in their house meetings they had a flag of Rome and they said, oh, God bless Rome, God bless Rome? Or do you think they said, hey, let's extend the gospel. Let's give ourselves to making disciples throughout the Roman Empire. I think their attitude would be Great Commission first rather than patriotism to Rome first. All right, let's go to the phones, and then I want to read you a letter from pro-life leaders writing to Iowa Republicans who say anyone but Donald Trump. We go to Long Island. Francesca, welcome to The Line of Fire. Or is it Francesca?
Yes, Francesca, Dr. Brown. Yes.
All right.
You hit it on the nail today. Really, I mean, you do all the time, but that's what you have to say. But the problem is that we're not hearing this enough. We're not hearing the guts of what Christianity is from all leaders. And there's a lot of compromising, even with some religious people, and that scares me. They are willing to compromise. I am all pro-life, and I will not vote otherwise. And more than likely, we may have two nominees that are both, pro-abortion. And I'm concerned about that, and I will not vote. I'm sorry, but it's not a law, but I can't give either of them my vote.
Yeah, I want to know what I understand, and obviously we have to seek the Lord, Francesca, and get His wisdom. For example, people have said to me, "Okay, we understand you're not going to vote for Donald Trump in the primaries. What if he was elected as the Republican candidate? Would you vote for him?" I'd really have to pray. I certainly couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, but I'd have to pray if I could vote for him. You say, because I have tremendous questions about his ethics and about his character and about what kind of president he would be. And if I'm voting, I'm saying something, so I would have to pray and get God's mind. I've endorsed Senator Cruz, but let's say it was Marco Rubio, or let's say it was Ben Carson, just to mention a couple of names, and they were the Republican candidate. Yeah, I'd gladly vote for them. I have reservations about every human being, obviously, but whoever the person is. But the question is, if Donald Trump has had a recent change where he's become pro-life. All right. Still not a champion for pro-life in any way. But if he has a recent change of heart, okay, great. Wonderful. Everybody can change. I respect that. I respect that. He always said he hated abortion, but you know, needed to be legal, and he wouldn't even ban partial birth abortion. That was years ago. Now he says he's had a change through personal experience and so on. I don't have the slightest confidence that he would absolutely elect for the Supreme Court hardcore, proven, tested, immovable pro-life judges. I have no indication of that whatsoever. I absolutely believe there are quite a few candidates, the ones I just mentioned, Carson Rubio Cruz, probably among others, who I would have much, much more confidence in who they would put forward for the Supreme Court. And we are morally responsible for what happens. And part of that has to do with who we elect. Hey, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. Report from Carrie Dan on... I don't have the website. Anti-abortion leaders to Iowa Republicans, anyone but Trump. It's obviously not a pro-life site, otherwise it wouldn't have said anti-abortion. Anti-abortion female leaders, so pro-life female leaders, are circulating an open letter to Iowa GOP voters urging them to back, quote, anyone but Donald Trump and the Republican caucus. Quote, as pro-life women leaders from Iowa and across the nation, we urge Republican caucus goers and voters to support anyone but Donald Trump. On the issue of defending unborn children and protecting women from the violence of abortion, Mr. Trump cannot be trusted, and there is, thankfully, an abundance of alternative candidates with proven records of pro-life leadership whom pro-life leaders voters can support. Signatories to the letter include Susan B. Anthony, List President Marjorie Dannenfelser, Iowa Right to Life head Jennifer Bowen, and Beverly LaHaye of Concerned Women for America. The statement also references Trump's treatment of Megyn Kelly and Carly Fiorina, saying that the GOP frontrunner has impugned the dignity of women. As women, we are disgusted by Mr. Trump's treatment of individuals, women in particular. He has impugned the dignity of women, most notably Megyn Kelly. He mocked and bullied Carly Fiorina and has, through the years, made disparaging public comments to and about many women. So, I fully understand where they're coming from, and no surprise in that regard either. We go to Western Virginia. Steve, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Michael Brown, thank you. I just would like to say that when we look at the past of Mr. Trump, where he actually had a strip club in his casinos, I have to severely question if this, his business credentials is what he actually needs to get in the good graces of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's the case, then I think what we need to do is we need to apologize to President Clinton and Monica Lewinsky for their episode a decade ago.
Yeah, in other words, if we're willing to string them up and we all wanted Clinton out and so on, you know, we're conservative, we're Christian, we're moral people, and what a reproach to have Bill Clinton in the White House. But we don't have a problem with someone who's made a lot of money from casinos, including one, yeah, with striptease or whatever else, whatever went on in it. And listen, anyone can have a change of heart, right? Donald Trump could be converted tomorrow and have a change of heart. But what concerns me is that when people talk about his Christian character, Jerry Falwell says he's a giving man. He's probably helped a lot of people with his money. Maybe he's generous, even out of all that he has. Maybe he's generous. But the issue is there is absolutely not the slightest hint of a strong moral base. The way he behaves, the way he treats others, the words that he speaks out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's what grieves me. If Christians said, look, we know he's not godly, we know he's not a true Christian in any respect, we understand that, but we just think God's raising him up and we need this strong leader to change America. Okay, I differ with that, but I could respect that a whole lot more than when someone tries to give a moral Christian argument in his support. Hey, friends, we've got an hour and a half to keep talking. You can join me online by going to AskDrBrown.org and click on Listen Live. When you're on the website, be sure to check out this week's very special resource offer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. I'm looking at an article by Eliza Collins and Politico.com. From yesterday, Christian leaders balk at Falwell's Trump endorsement. I am one of those Christian leaders. Again, he could have come out for a number of the other candidates, and I wouldn't have blinked at all. Ted Cruz launched his campaign there, basically, at Liberty would have seemed like a logical choice. Mike Huckabee would have been a logical choice as a fellow evangelical. But conservative men with strong Christian beliefs, one is a Seventh-day Adventist, one is a Catholic, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio. When Scott Walker was running, he would have been logical. And Rick Santorum, again, is a Catholic, but strong, moral, conservative Christian worldview in so many ways. These would have all been candidates that, if he endorsed them, would have made sense. But the Trump endorsement and saying that look, when his dad voted for Reagan, you know, he wasn't voting for a pastor. He was voting for someone who'd get the job done. True. But at that time in his life, Reagan was really a true conservative. Donald Trump is not. We have no indication that he is. And on a host of issues, he is, as some have said, the closest thing to a Democrat candidate we've had running for Republican in decades. So that's the part that concerns me. Some have said God's raising him up like Osiris. God raised up Cyrus to restore the Jewish people from Babylonian exile to rebuild the temple. Cyrus was an idol worshiper and so on. Okay, I don't agree. I don't agree with that understanding. But hey, let God be God, okay? But I at least respect the fact that you're not trying to make him into a Christian. Anyone who's lived the way he's lived and boasts about all the, you know, women conquests he's had and all of this stuff, and who is as proud of being proud as anyone I've ever seen, to then say, well, yeah, but he's, you know, Jesus-like in many ways in Christ, that's the part that troubles me. That's the part that troubles me. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Gastonia, North Carolina. Cynthia, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Okay. I also share some of the same concerns that you do. It seems to me like the issues dodge in and out of on so many different levels. And I think my main concern is not we're so much looking for a Messiah, as the Jews would be. What I don't understand is, okay, you won't even have a conversation with somebody that you think is lesser than you are because you think that you're above what they could even tell you. And it's the same thing. I don't think it's so much that we're looking for a out-and-out demonstrating, walking on water person to be put in that candidacy. But I think what we do look for and what we need to look for are some of the just basic, simple values.
Yeah, and let me just say this. We've got a break coming up, so let me just jump in. If we recognize that the biggest problem in America is the failing compromised church, and repentance has to start with us, then we also want to elect a candidate who can help us go in the right direction morally and even as a spiritual example, not as a pastor, but as a president. But what you're saying is very right. Some people are looking for a president, looking for a leader to change America. And it's not going to happen like that. It's got to happen with the people of God waking up to do what's right, to live rightly, to seek God, and then a leader leading in the right direction can really help. Otherwise, it's like Israel when they wanted a king because they didn't want God as their king. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
John Stemberger, president of the Florida Family Policy Council, said the late Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. would be rolling over in his grave if he knew the son who bore his name had endorsed the most immoral and ungodly man to ever run for president of the United States. It is one thing to allow the free exchange of ideas, even bad ideas, among college students on a Christian campus. It is quite another to give a glowing endorsement-like introduction calling Donald Trump. This in no way represents the legacy of Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. Penny Nance, CEO and president of Concerned Women for America, strongly disagrees with the endorsement, said, "I have deep concerns about Donald Trump's commitment to life and his respect for women." Goes on from there, and others also responded with great concern. Prominent evangelical leader Russell Moore started his warnings last week, sending out a series of tweets condemning Falwell's comments when he introduced Trump. "Trading in the gospel of Jesus Christ for political power is not liberty but slavery. Evangelicals can love a golden calf as long as Aaron promises to make Mexico pay for it." On and on. Yep, I absolutely agree with these concerns and the issues, the way they're being presented. I think they are concerning. And what deeply concerns me is evangelicals who are in on this. I'm just telling you the truth. 866-348-7884. We go to Manuette, New York. Tom, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to call. I look at Trump just like I just heard you say. I see him as the new King Cyrus. I don't agree with him in everything politically, but this country is in deep trouble. The other candidates that are being represented by the Republican Party are very feckless and craven, and I don't even know what they stand for.
Oh, hang on for 1 second. I've got a larger question, but let's ask a specific one. Do you know what Ted Cruz's voting record is through his history in the Senate? And then, of course, going back to his teenage years, what he stood for, but in the Senate, do you know his voting record is as a conservative?
Well, the problem with Ted Cruz...
Well, are you aware? Are you aware of what it is?
I'm not aware of everything. No, okay.
On one rating, he is 100%. On the other rating, 97%. We have never had a candidate that consistently conservative taking on the establishment uncompromisingly, doesn't matter what it costs him, his entire political career. We haven't had a candidate like that in decades, if ever. Now, you still may not like him or not want to vote for him, but
no,
don't call him feckless. Listen to Ben Carson talk about life, or listen to Marco Rubio talk about being a Christian. These guys are hardly feckless. That to me is a bizarre statement, sir. Just be honest with you.
What I mean by feckless is I don't think they'd be electable. Now, let's take Cruz, for example. His mother gave up her U.S. citizenship here, and she became a citizen of Canada. So what's going to happen then she had Ted Cruz as her son being a Canadian citizen.
She's an American citizen. Top legal scholars have said this is an absolute non-issue. If Ted Cruz was not a citizen, he would have had to have been naturalized. He never had to be naturalized because he's a citizen. What's also interesting, Tom, is that recent polls that I've looked at as of yesterday showed in most of the polls Ted Cruz beating Hillary Clinton, and in most of the polls Hillary Clinton beating Donald Trump. By the way, the definition of feckless I'm looking at, lacking initiative or strength of character, irresponsible. So again, that's perhaps the wrong word.
The definition I see weak. I see somebody who's weak, and when it comes to the general election, it would be trouble to. And I don't want Hillary Clinton to be my next president.
I don't want Donald Trump to be my next president either. The problem is number one, Donald Trump has a very, very high unlikability factor. I had a guest on, a conservative journalist yesterday, and he said that Donald Trump's unlikability factor is where Jimmy Carter's was at the end of his presidency. Okay, that's one thing. Second thing, I've seen polls where Marco Rubio could beat Hillary Clinton. And Ted Cruz, I said, could beat Hillary Clinton. I'm not sure about others. Those are the only ones I've looked at. And polls that indicated the same thing that gave, I think, four different polls showed three out of the four. When I looked at it yesterday, three out of the four that Cruz could beat Hillary Clinton, three out of the same four polls, Hillary Clinton would beat Donald Trump. So to me, that argument, we got to wait for this person because they've got the best chance. No, we've got to vote for the best candidate. And as for knowing where someone stands, I have no clue how Donald Trump would govern. Not the slightest clue which man would show up for the job in that respect. Honestly, and nothing in these elections as far has given me any confidence that I can be sure of that. Anyway, thank you for the call. We continue to have our conversations here. Let's go to Ann in Los Angeles. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown. I had a couple comments, one on Trump and one on Cruz. I think one aspect, I'm basically agreeing with your caller, two callers ago, the lady who said that we're looking for a king, I guess. We know that we have trouble in our country. We recognize that. But instead of repenting, which is what we should do, we don't want to do that.
Yep.
So we are continuing our preference for the strong over the weak, which is our one of our big sins in America right now. You see it in Roe v. Wade. We see it in divorce. We see it in the so-called gay marriage issue and other issues as well. We prefer strong people over weak people. And Donald Trump is a strong person. And instead of getting on our knees and repenting, we're just trying another version of the strong over the weak. And my other comment is about Ted Cruz. I like a lot of things about him, and I was ready to vote for him, but I got on his email list. Mm-hmm. And his emails are, I mean, they remind me of what my mom used to get, my elderly mother before she died. Mm-hmm. Got these ridiculous emails that were so manipulative and dishonest, and it really turned me off. So I'm kind of leaning towards Rubio now, or I love Santorum or Carson or Rubio.
Yeah, well, listen, just, you know, look at things, be informed. I would say that part, I'm on his mailing list also. I got on a couple of others, you know, because I signed something or I agreed with something. But because I've endorsed him, you know, I of course, on his email list. And I actually haven't, all I'm getting is stuff saying, here's what's going on, here are the stats, here's the information, here's why we're confident and excited, here's what you can do. So actually, I haven't been bothered by them at all. I got on a Rand Paul thing. I agreed with him on something online, and I got on his, and that kind of turned me off. It's like, what in the world? This is the worst stuff I've ever seen. It was constant fun, send this amount now and stuff. But I realized, okay, that's not coming from him. That's really not coming from him. So my evaluation of Rand Paul, I did get off the email list just because I didn't need the extra emails. But I realized that's not coming from him. So I think you have to do the same thing. My wife and I were talking. There are a lot of things about Marco Rubio that are very likable. And although I was concerned about would he flip-flop on certain things like he did on amnesty once with the whole Gang of Eight thing, he seems to the core pro-life and to the core against redefining marriage. He really does, and to the core, an unashamed Christian. Some are going to differ, of course, with Catholicism, but he seems completely unashamed of his faith. I appreciate that. He's obviously brilliant. He thinks well on his feet. My big concern, and the primary reason that I endorse Senator Cruz versus Senator Rubio, because obviously he was up at the top of my list as well, is because the only way I think we can get anything done politically is with a total anti-establishment candidate. Now, remember, Donald Trump is positioning him as the one who can make deals. He'll make deals with everybody. So to me, that tells me one thing, compromise, compromise, compromise. So Ted Cruz has been the one who's taken on the Washington cartel by name. And that's why so many senators hate him, because he's calling out the establishment and he's a threat to the establishment. That's the only way I could see something getting done. If it was a true outsider that wouldn't go with the establishment, maybe Ben Carson could have been that. Marco Rubio is too liked by the establishment. So that's my concern. Again, if he ended up being the candidate, I'd vote for him in a heartbeat rather than vote for Hillary or Bernie Sanders or someone else. But yeah. that's my concern. But in any event, look at the issues. Bypass the email list, just like I had to do with Rand Paul. Bypass that, okay, because that's generated by other people in the campaign. I haven't been bothered by them at all. But bypass that. Look at the issues, and then your vote counts. So give it prayerful thought. Thank you for weighing in. I'll come right back, take some more calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So for me, equality is, of course, about passing laws, enforcing them, enforcing regulations, but it also is changing hearts and minds.
That is, of course, the voice of Hillary Clinton. She is speaking to the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, and one that I have seen do real damage with their policies, and one that is now working to advance gay activism and stop those standing for biblical morality around the world. I'm on their list of those exporting hate. The things would be laughable if not for the damage that they do. Remember, Hillary Clinton is the darling of the Human Rights Campaign, and she is making it very clear that gay activism will be a centerpiece of her campaign, to the point of having, you know, two lesbians in ads and things like that to say, hey, this is who we are, and we are fighting for you. I want to see our Republican candidate, although not making this the major issue, being steadfastly strong about what is right concerning these issues. I am looking at resolution on moral character of public officials. Just read a great article by attorney David French, and he referenced this. It's from 1998, the resolution on moral character of public officials. It says, in part, we urge all Americans to embrace, this is Southern Baptist Convention, 1998, we urge all Americans to embrace and act on the conviction that character does count in public office and to elect those officials and candidates who, although imperfect, demonstrate consistent honesty, moral purity, and the highest character. I say absolutely yes. Back to the phones. All right, let's try guest. Ooh, we have lost a host of calls here. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Paul, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Cool. I just wanted to call in and just weigh in on the whole issue of the candidates. And just one of the things that I noticed about Mr. Trump, and that's the vitriol that I see that comes against anyone who speaks against him. I was just reading an editorial piece by one of the authors of the piece that appeared in the National Review against Trump, and it just talked about how while she wasn't engaged by Trump directly because of the piece, several of his supporters just really lashed out against her, and that really concerns me as much as anything else. But what I really think, this is an opportunity in this electoral season for us to do something that we've really needed to do for a long time now as free men and women, is turn off the televisions, stop living in the soundbite culture, and really dig in and do our research. Because it became very evident, you're talking to that gentleman a few calls ago, he didn't have a clue what Ted Cruz's voting record was. And, one thing that I really like about Ted Cruz is his proven ability to bring people from other parties together voting on issues and actually getting legislation passed and doing the work of government. So that's why I really like Ted Cruz. He's got a proven record, and I see him. You know, nobody's perfect, but again, is what you always say is that we're relying on God. It's not a man who's going to get us out of this trouble, other than the man Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and look, when I interact with Trump supporters on social media, that's also what concerns me. Yes, the vitriol, the attacks. No, I do not want that kind of person to be the president. I would be ashamed if my grandchildren acted like that in public. Okay, they are 9, 12, 12, and 15. I would be ashamed if they acted like that in public. And I would be embarrassed if they acted like that in the privacy of our homes. If I acted like that, everyone would have every right to shut off this radio station and stop reading my articles until I demonstrated fruit of repentance. You say, okay, well, you're in ministry. I mentioned my grandkids, didn't I? If I had a boss that acted like that in the workplace, I would lose respect for that person. But when you see then the followers who are professing believers, either saying, well, you don't know about his relationship with God. No, we do. He's made that clear. He's told us plainly that he doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't understand forgiveness. He has no clue of his own sinfulness. Mm-hmm. As my colleague, Dr. James White, pointed out last week, Romans 3 says that one of the purposes of the law is that the whole world will be found guilty before God and every mouth be shut. So when you recognize who God is, your mouth is shut. And instead of saying how good you are, you recognize how deserving of judgment you are and why you absolutely need the forgiveness of God, not once, but always through the blood of Jesus. So when I hear people say, well, you don't really know about his heart. No, we do at this point. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He is saying plainly who he is, what he believes. Can God change him? Of course God can change him. And maybe these Christians who are getting close to him can help him come to repentance. That would be wonderful. That would be absolutely thrilling. But when I then see people who are supposed to be followers of Jesus repeating his attacks on people, if he's going to call this one a liar, then yeah, that person's a liar. If he's going to call this one stupid, yeah, that person's stupid. If he's going to call this one, yeah, that's what that person is. That is not just irresponsible. That's immoral for believers to do that. We must step higher, not just in terms of processing information, but having moral responses. So, I think you've hit the nail on the head, sir.
Yeah, and I mean, we are in a democratic society. Ultimately, we're living with the fruit of our democratic choices to elect President Obama. And if I really feel that if we elect Donald Trump as the president, we're going to show our error and folly in trying to think we could find a quick solution instead of, you know, getting facts and doing the research, the hard work. You're a man of research and study. You know that you don't just become an expert on something. You have to dig in. You have to get to the heart of the matter. And I feel like if we as voters do that with Donald Trump and with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, these others who are running for the president, which isn't an entry-level position, by the way, I feel like we'll be able to make a godly choice if we seek the Lord and find out what we're talking about, as you said, instead of just going by what somebody says in passing.
I'm sure, Paul, I'm sure that there are people who like each candidate, and whatever the candidate says, they just believe about everybody. So it's mm-hmm. incumbent, it doesn't matter who you're supporting or where you're at, it's incumbent that we are prayerful and that we are informed. But this is not an entry-level position. Let's take it seriously. Paul, much appreciation for your call. Friends, we're out of time. Talk about an hour flying by. That mega flew by. We're out of time, but please check out my website, AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, check out this week's special resource offer. I think you'll be blessed by it. Take advantage of that and stand with us. Help amplify my voice. My bottom line today, character does count. Moral integrity matters. And the first and deepest problems in America are moral and spiritual. I've written an open letter to Jerry Falwell Jr., and I want to talk to you about the difference between patriotism and the kingdom of God. Oh, And we've got some controversies to tackle today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Where do we start? Do I start with the Presbyterian pastor who denies the resurrection of Jesus and is upset that people are questioning his Christianity? Do I start there? Do I start with something equally serious but less laughable? From what I understand, the assistant district attorney that was involved in the case with Planned Parenthood being investigated for the selling of baby parts, that instead indicted the pro-life leader who conducted the sting videos, one of the charges being a misdemeanor for purchasing aborted baby parts, which again, my deep, simple question is, how can you be indicted for illegally buying aborted baby parts when the people who sold them to you are cleared of any wrongdoing? But does it matter that the assistant DA has been a board member for Planned Parenthood? Does that matter? A whole lot of other things. And yes, I want to share with you my open letter to Jerry Falwell Jr. as he has endorsed Donald Trump. And again, as I said in the first hour, if he said, I know he's not a Christian, I know he does not hold to our values in many, many ways, but I just sense that God is raising him up, even as a non-Christian, as a man who can get things done, and somehow I believe God is with him. And just like God raised up King Cyrus, who is a non-believer, to help restore the Jewish people back to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple. And by the way, that became the Persian policy. He did this. He was an idol worshiper, and God made it clear he was calling him, even though Cyrus didn't know him, Koresh in Hebrew, by the way. And he was calling him to do this, Isaiah 44:45, even though Cyrus didn't know him. Cyrus did this for others as well. The Babylonian policy, the Assyrian policy before that, those were mainly policies of exile. So how do you break the spirit of a people? Well, you exile the Jews and the Israelites, you exile them into Assyria and Babylon. And then what you do is you exile someone from another country into their country. So it breaks the back of patriotism and national resistance, and of course it's oppressive, and now you tax the people on top of it, or you just leave the land fairly desolate just with the poor there and exile the leaders. The Persian policy was basically to resettle the exiles and to say, go ahead and build your temples, pray for us, and we will rule over this whole empire. You'll be under us. We will rule over you, and you will pay us taxes, and we will have open trade routes, etc. So that's how God used Cyrus, a pagan king, to help bring the Jewish people back from exile to Jerusalem and to rebuild their temple, and he helped finance that. And some say that's what we see Donald Trump as, a man like that, doesn't know the Lord. No matter what he says about being religious and Christian, it's evident he has no clue about that whatsoever. He's not a man of historic conservative values. He's not a man with a historic, clear moral base. You don't boast about all the affairs you've had with married women as a man with a moral conservative base. And if you've repented of it later, then you renounce it. And you say, hey, I'm pulling that book from the market, or I'm renouncing that, where I boast about all my affairs with the women. But to endorse him and then to hail his Jesus-like ways, as Jerry Falwell Jr. did, with all respect, sir, that's very troubling to me. We'll talk about that and a whole lot of other issues when we come back. And you can weigh in. Phone lines are now open, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to share this open letter that I wrote. You can read it, share it with your friends by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. And then get to interact with me right here on the phone, 866-34-TRUTH. Dear Mr. Falwell, in light of your not unexpected endorsement of Donald Trump for president, I have some candid questions for you, but I write with the utmost respect for Liberty University, and with real appreciation for your own labors, not to mention those of your esteemed father. I've had friends and colleagues who work in the law department or head up the law department at Liberty University. I was part of a brainstorming session there a few years ago dealing with homosexual activism. And walking down the hallway, one of the hallways in the law school, they've got pictures of people in American history who were real world changers, many whose names I knew, some whose names I didn't know. And it's great. You're walking down the aisle. You go up one way. You come back the other way. And I just had I had this question. Is this what's going to happen at the end? And you come to the end, and the last thing is a mirror. You're the one that's supposed to bring about change. They've got basically, I think, a replica of the Supreme Court, and people, they have to try cases in there and argue their cases before others. I think something like 50% of the chaplains for the military are now coming out of Liberty. You're talking about a massive school with over 80,000 online and about 20,000 on campus, so 100,000 students. So, yeah, much appreciation for Liberty. And appreciation for Jerry Falwell Jr.'s own work and, of course, those of his esteemed father, Jerry Falwell Sr. I raise these questions for you as well as for other evangelicals who also support Mr. Trump. If that's you listening, then I'm raising questions for you. If you're a committed Christian and you are supportive of Donald Trump for president. But in doing so, I recognize that there is far more that unites us than divides us, and I do not intend to lose sight of that. That being said, my concerns are very deep. Addressing the fundamental questions of, one, what are America's most pressing needs right now? And two, what qualities should we look for when voting for the president of the United States? You had previously pointed to your father's support of Ronald Reagan, noting that, quote, when he walked into the voting booth, he wasn't electing a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or even a president who shared his theological beliefs. He was electing the president of the United States with the talents, abilities, and experience required to lead a nation. After all, Jimmy Carter was a great Sunday school teacher, but look at what happened to our nation with him in the presidency. Sorry. So, on the one hand, you've stressed that as evangelical Christians, we can back someone who does not share our theological beliefs, as long as that person has the, quote, talents, abilities, and experience required to lead a nation. At the same time, you stated in your endorsement that Mr. Trump is, quote, a successful executive, an entrepreneur, a wonderful father, and a man who I believe can lead our country to greatness again, adding, in my opinion, Donald Trump lives a life of loving and helping others as Jesus taught in the Great Commandment. Are you then seriously endorsing Mr. Trump as a man following the example of Jesus? Just interject this. Is Donald Trump living a life of loving and helping others as Jesus taught by making money on casinos? Is Donald Trump living a life of loving and helping others as Jesus taught by boasting about his many affairs with married women? And on and on, and by exalting pride and money. One colleague wrote to me after learning of your endorsement saying, I just don't understand how a true Christian can so easily dismiss all this. Wife posed nude, married three times, nasty, crude, cruel, proud, dishonest, manipulative, casino owner and promoter, bankrupted several companies, quote, hates abortion but agrees to make it legal, gutter mouth, and on and on and on. It's not necessary for the president to be a Christian, but doesn't integrity and a moral compass count for the highest office in the land? How about someone who can rein in their tongue? Conservative Christian leader John Stemberger has raised similar concerns in detail, and I have asked whether Mr. Trump's words can be trusted based on his consistent flip-flopping right until now. It appears that he has changed political parties at least five times. Are you sure you can trust where he stands today? Mr. Falwell, in light of Mr. Trump's attacks on those he happens to dislike at the moment, be it Megyn Kelly or Ted Cruz or Jeb Bush or Rosie O'Donnell, attacks in which he behaves more like a spoiled, petulant child than a presidential candidate, how can you point to his Christ-like character? I cite this as one small example out of many, but isn't it true that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? And doesn't that concern you that it seems that no matter what he says or does, his followers still back him? I'm sure Mr. Trump can be a very kind man, and I've been told that in private he's very genuine and caring. And I don't doubt that he helps lots of people with his wealth, and it's great to hear that his kids love and respect him. But to extol his allegedly Christ-like ways is, in my view, quite absurd. You might say, but this is where you're missing the point. He's the man for the job, the man who can get things done and restore a nation to greatness. That this is where I have my greatest issue with evangelicals backing Donald Trump. Simply stated, I firmly believe that our greatest problems are moral and spiritual, not economic or otherwise. And to think that we can make America great again by securing our borders, defeating ISIS, and rebuilding our economy without first addressing the moral rot in our society is to deceive ourselves gravely. Donald Trump is hardly the man to address America's moral demise. Proverbs 14:34 states that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is true for all peoples and all nations. Without addressing our deepest issues first, we will be guilty of repeating the error of Israel's false prophets who superficially treated the fracture of their people, Jeremiah 6:14 and 8:11. Looking at some of our most pressing moral issues, when it comes to same-sex, quote, marriage, Mr. Trump has stated that it's the law of the land whether he likes it or not. In contrast, a number of the other Republican candidates have made clear that they will work against this unjust Supreme Court ruling. Similarly, while we have a number of true, proven pro-life candidates, Mr. Trump can hardly be viewed as a pro-life champion, despite his recent editorial touting his pro-life sympathies. Our next president could appoint as many as 4 new Supreme Court justices, and those justices could potentially shape the nation for decades to come. Will Mr. Trump cut a deal with his opponents when it comes to appointing justices, or will he appoint righteous justices who will help restore our country's moral sanity? Can you really say you're confident you know what he will do? You stated that, quote, he cannot be bought. He's not a puppet on a string like many other candidates who have wealthy donors as their puppet masters. But here, too, you appear to have missed something of great importance. Perhaps Mr. Trump is not beholden to his donors, at least not at this early stage of the campaign, but he does seem beholden to the gods of money and fame. And he is as driven by material wealth and popularity as any candidate in memory, perhaps even more than any candidate in memory. Do not these gods bind one's eyes even more than gifts from wealthy donors? And do you have concrete proof that all the other candidates have strayed from their convictions in order to gain financial support? It would seem clear that some of them have done quite the opposite. It is absolutely true that we're not electing a pastor or a priest or pope, but it is of the utmost importance that our president be a man of integrity, a man of strong moral character, a man who can address the most fundamental needs of our nation. Nothing I've seen or heard in recent months has given me any indication that this describes Donald Trump. Rush Limbaugh has pointed to the new divide between nationalism and conservatism, with Donald Trump being viewed as the nationalist populist leader and Ted Cruz being viewed as the conservative leader. For me, as an evangelical follower of Jesus, the contrast is between putting nationalism first or the kingdom of God first. From my vantage point, you and other evangelicals seem to have put nationalism first, and that is what deeply concerns me. Accordingly, if we put the kingdom of God first, by which, of course, I do not mean trying to impose a theocracy, but rather putting biblical values first, we can also rebuild the economy, address the immigration issue, and strengthen our national defense. But if we put nationalism first, the most pressing issues will be relegated to second place, and it will be a distant second place at that. And like Israel of old, we will look for a king to make us great rather than looking to the Lord. I welcome your response to these questions and concerns, however you choose to respond, in writing on my radio show or in private, and I pray that regardless of our differences, God will use you to draw Mr. Trump to Jesus as his Savior and Lord. That is my open letter to Jerry Falwell, Jr. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Richmond, Virginia. Garland, you're first up on the Line of Fire.
Yes, I listen to Line of Fire quite often and the issues at hand and things that we speak of, and I understand a lot of the statements with Donald Trump. I've listened to it, and one of the things, as a Christian, I was raised born again Christian Pentecostal Holiness Assembly of God Church of God, and this is something that really frustrates me with the Christian side of life and in our country and nation as a whole. And here's the deal: I remember when Mitt Romney ran, a lot of evangelicals didn't like the fact he was Mormon, and I don't agree with the Mormon faith myself as well. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, who's the best candidate to put in that we can get elected as far as we are concerned on our values and things? My take on this is Donald Trump...
Just a quick question to clarify, to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Sure.
It's not just who is the candidate who we can get elected, but who is the best candidate we can get elected who stands for our values, right?
Exactly.
In other words, if we can have...
The best shot of pushing the most of our values back into our nation, especially in the politics? Now, here's the other statement I want to... George Bush got John Roberts in as a justice, who has been a total disappointment to me as far as a justice. He's been a total disappointment. I felt he was ultra-conservative, a man of God, a Christian, and there he made one of the biggest decisions in our nation.
Yeah, tell you what, Garland, stay right there. Get you finished on the other side of the break, all right? So hang in, and we'll get you right back on the phone on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH to join the conversation.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to Garland in Richmond. You're saying Justice John Roberts has been a disappointment. Hey, listen, when Justice Kennedy was elected, some looked at that as somewhat of a compromise, but that was a Republican that put him in as well, correct? So John Roberts, obviously the Obamacare thing was the big disappointment. Other things, he's been consistently conservative, but I understand why the tremendous disappointment on the president's healthcare system.
Exactly. And I guess what I'm saying is, Michael, I agree with a lot of things that you say about people as far as where they stand and stuff with Trump. And this is what I want you to understand. I'm not saying I don't disagree with it. As far as Jesus values, I think Ted Cruz leads in that as far as conservative values. This is my case and my take on this is what I would hope that people could see and understand. I think we'd have a real strong running if Ted Cruz ran as a vice president with him. I think that they would be a dynamic duo because I think that Trump has the ability to push through to get elected. I really feel that. I think Ted Cruz would be an awesome running mate. I have, no qualms about that. I think it would be a good build for us. But what I am saying is that sometimes our convictions and stuff and personal things, and I understand the fact of being a Christian and how we're supposed to lead it, we've got to get someone in there that can change the tables and tie to the tables. The government, the Republicans, and the Democratic parties, liberals, socialists, whatever you want to add to the other side of it, right wing, left wing, they're scared of Trump because he has nothing to lose and everything to gain by what and how he's doing. I think he's utilized the media to his
all right,
advantage.
But hang on. Let me jump in and tell you why I categorically disagree, okay?
Okay.
Number one, there is no guarantee whatsoever that Donald Trump is a moral conservative. There is no history. There is no guarantee of where he stands. No matter what he says about pro-life, he still is weak on that compared to several of the other candidates. He said same-sex marriage is the law of the land. Hey, you just have to live with it. He doesn't agree with it, but just have to live with it. So people have gone through all of his statements and records for years and said he is the most Democratic-like candidate we have ever had on the Republican side in decades and decades. So it completely violates the whole question, the whole principle that I was getting at, which is it's not who can be elected, but who can get elected who's going to advance our values. Certainly not Donald Trump. The fact he says, he's going to fight for Christian, we're going to be able to say Merry Christmas. I don't care about saying Merry Christmas. I care about 55 million babies being aborted and who's going to appoint the right Supreme Court justices that are going to turn things around in the coming decades. And I have no confidence it'd be Donald Trump whatsoever. Also, I don't know why everyone says he could do it. I mean, people just believe it. He could do it. The fact is, all the polling data I've looked at consistently is saying that Hillary Clinton would beat Donald Trump and that others, Ted Cruz among them, Marco Rubio at different times, would beat Hillary Clinton. So who's hypnotizing us to believe just because he says he gets things done? You know how many failed ventures he's had over the years? So I know he's successful in many ways. I think the best thing he does is he sells himself. But the reality is his unlikability factor, his negative factor is so massively high that many say it would be impossible to elect him. In other words, he would be the worst candidate to elect. And it seems the establishment is warming to him because we think, hey, we can cut a deal with him. And he's saying, I'll cut a deal with Nancy Pelosi and with Chuck Schumer and with these other Democrats. I don't need someone who's going to cut a deal. I need someone who's going to stand for what they believe and hold their ground until others come around to what's right. So that's where I really respectfully differ with your perspective.
Well, I can understand your case in point on that, but I just feel like that Donald Trump is smart enough and he's educated enough that he knows the system and the political machine well enough that he has used the media. He's leading the polls. He has been leading the polls, even when interviewed by the Fox News.
But Garland, hang on. I could care less about the polls if he doesn't stand for what I stand for. We're not discussing who uses the media best. We're not discussing who's the biggest reality TV star. We're not discussing who's the best salesperson. I see no strong moral conservative base. So why in the world would I want to support him just because he uses the media well? Plenty of people use the media well. President Obama uses the media well. That does not mean the person is the right person to be president. I mean, that's what I keep coming back to. This is what troubles me about evangelical support for Donald Trump. He behaves like a spoiled, angry child. The way he attacks others, the way he, it doesn't matter if he lies about others, misrepresents others, crushes others to obtain his goals. I mean, that's ungodly. Read the qualities of Proverbs, the way a king is supposed to govern, not a priest or a prophet, but the way a king is supposed to govern. And we're not talking about a king, we're talking about a president, and all the more the moral base is important here for our nation. That's what I don't get. You've got no idea if he gets elected, not the slightest clue which way he'd go as president. He has changed political parties from what I've read at least 5 times. Up until a few years ago, he was anything but a conservative Republican. So, that's where I've just got to respectfully urge you to think about this again, sir. To think about this again. There is a reason that a host of pro-life leaders, key pro-life leaders, wrote a letter to the voters of Iowa, said, vote for anyone but Donald Trump. There's a reason for it. Hey, Garland. Great having the discussion with you. Keep listening and give this more thought. I listen to everybody. I think about what you have to say. Thanks, and it's great to have the discussion. I appreciate it between two brothers. 866-34-TRUTH. Friends in Charlotte, North Carolina, are you aware that gay activists, with the very active help of the mayor, who, from what I understand, was helped to election through gay activist groups like the Human Rights Campaign, if I understand that data correctly. She and the city council working to push through the LGBT bill in the city. You say, yeah, it's just non-discrimination. Oh, it's going to be massive discrimination. It could set up a situation in Charlotte, North Carolina, where if you are a photographer and someone comes in and says, hey, we're doing this horror movie, and we hear you're the best still photographer, we want you to come in and do a shoot. No, I'm not into like zombies and that kind of thing. Sorry. Oh, okay. But here's a photographer that'll probably do it. Okay, great. Then someone else comes in. Hey, we got this lingerie catalog. We hear you're a great photographer. You know, I'm not really into taking shots of lingerie models. I'm a Christian. It's a little different than my values. But hey, this photographer, great friend. They'll do a really good job for you. I'll refer you to them. Okay. Then gay couple comes in, two men. Hey, we'd like you to shoot our wedding. No, you know, sorry, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. It violates my values. You could be fined. You could be put out of business. You could go to jail. You know what the city council is trying to push? Residents of Charlotte, hear me as I'm shouting this out. They're trying to make every public bathroom and locker room in the city gender neutral. Meaning if a man identifies as a woman, he can come into the ladies' room and share the ladies' locker room with your daughters and your wives.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Part of what Mike Bickle teaches at his version of IHOP, the International House of Not Pancakes But Prayer, is that God sent Hitler to chase the Jews. The Nazis were doing God's work.
That is Rachel Maddow. She's talking about my friend Mike Bickle, who recently endorsed Senator Ted Cruz for president. And, of course, from the left side that know of Mike Bickle and his work, now Senator Cruz is being attacked for Mike Bickle endorsing him and him saying, hey, we appreciate the endorsement. We appreciate the ministry of prayer that Mike Bickle has. So is it true? Does Mike Bickle teach that God sent Adolf Hitler to bring the Jews back to the land of Israel? And does Mike Bickle say that Oprah is a forerunner of the Antichrist, as Rachel Maddow says? Well, we'll see in a moment. We'll listen to the clips from Mike's mouth, 866-34-TRUTH. It's 866-348-7884. All right, a couple of very, very quick announcements. If you live in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, tomorrow is our Night to Ignite Vision Banquet. If you were planning on coming and just showing up and you haven't registered, you need to. We probably have just a few seats left, all right? We can make room for you if you register now. The Benham Brothers will be speaking. I've prepared a PowerPoint presentation that I believe is going to inspire you, build your faith, and we're going to invite you to partner with us. We have amazing open doors before us that could really help amplify our voice and message around the nation, and you can be part of that. So go to nighttoignite.com, nighttoignite.com. You've got to RSVP. There's still time, but please do it today, and we can squeeze you in. I've got a little bit more for residents in Charlotte, but so as not to confuse things, I'm going to hold off on that for a moment. In the last half hour, I read my open letter to Jerry Falwell Jr., raising serious questions about his endorsement of Donald Trump. You can hear that by listening to the show later at AskDrBrown.org or just going to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and clicking on latest article. All right? Click on latest article, and you'll be able to read it for yourself. And if you agree with it, circulate it, send it to friends. My big issue with the endorsement is not the endorsement itself, although that troubles me. That definitely troubles me. But the nature of the endorsement. What do I mean? By saying, well, Donald Trump, in many ways, has led a life of loving Jesus and loving others. Or to give the exact quote, lives a life of loving and helping others as Jesus taught in the Great Commandment. That is what troubles me. Pointing to him in Christian terms, pointed to him in ways that would say, hey, he may not quote the Bible exactly right, but he does a lot of other things that are in keeping with the teaching of Jesus. And we need an executive, we need an entrepreneur, and he's that. If he said, I know he's not a Christian, I understand he has no clue about God in the Bible. I deeply question his moral base and his integrity, but just like God raised up Cyrus, a pagan king who didn't know the Lord, I believe God is raising up Donald Trump, and I believe it's the right prophetic thing to do. I'd still differ, but I could respect that more. My bigger issue, though, does come to this. What are our biggest problems? Are they economic? Are they immigration issues? Are they security issues? Are they Islamic terrorism? What are our greatest issues? They are ultimately moral and spiritual. And unless you address those first and have a president who has some type of moral foundation that is strong, and doesn't drop F-bombs in speeches and denigrate those who differ with him like an angry child and even boast about all of his affairs with married women and not weep over that, still say he's led a good life, you got a big problem if you think that person is going to bring America back to greatness. We'll be right back.
God of life.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of the broadcast. Okay, before I, well, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna stay with my comments about President for a moment, and then I want to get to Mike Bickle's teaching. I want to give an analogy first, though, all right? There's an old joke I heard about a guy, he's on his hands and knees, late at night, New York City, and he's right under this lamppost, and he's on his hands and knees, and he's sifting through things in the ground, he's looking for something. And a guy comes up to him and says, "Mister, did you lose something?" He said, "Yeah." He said, I lost my watch, it's a family heirloom, and I lost it. The guy said, "You need some help looking for it?" He said, "Oh, yeah, sure." He said, "So you lost it around here?" He said, no, down the block. He said, "Well, why are you looking here?" He said, "The light's better." Ah, that's how I feel when people tell me, I know that this candidate is more trustworthy. I know that this candidate has a better track record. I know that this candidate has a stronger Christian base. But I don't see them as electable, so I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Huh? That's like looking for the watch under the lamppost because it's brighter there when you lost it down the road. And let me also say, this myth that he's the only one that can be elected is not anything but a myth. According to the same polls that have him way ahead nationally than the other Republicans, all right, according to those same polls, when polls have been done looking at who is the most likely to win head-to-head against Hillary Clinton, and that's if Hillary even makes it to be elected. I think that's still a big if. But let's just say that it's Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, Marco Rubio versus Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz versus Hillary Clinton. The latest polls I saw yesterday, I just looked at Trump and Cruz because that's what was being discussed on my Facebook page. 3 out of 4 said that Hillary Clinton would beat Donald Trump. 3 out of 4 said Ted Cruz would beat Hillary Clinton. So this whole thing where you got to vote for him because he'd get the job done. Well, what job would he get done anyway? Maybe he would build the wall. Maybe he would. I don't know. Maybe he would. Let's just say he'd get that done. He'd build the wall. Does he have a consistent, clear policy on immigration? Not to my knowledge. Does he have a consistent, clear policy, national security issues and dealing with our enemies? Not to my knowledge, but much, 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 much more importantly, does he give us any evidence of a strong, consistent, moral conservative base? Absolutely, categorically, no. And that, to me, is the biggest issue. If the person does not have character and integrity and a strong moral compass, I have a real problem thinking that person is going to help bring America back to greatness for obvious reasons. Because we're not going to be great without the blessing of God. And unless we get these other issues right first, we're not going to have the blessing of God. I mean, that should be forthright to followers of Jesus. If you're not a believer in Jesus, oh, of course, differ with me on these things. I'm coming from that particular perspective. Of course, you'd have a different perspective. But if you are, that raises strong questions for me. If we know what the ultimate problems are, and we don't address those first, and elect a candidate who, along with dealing with the economy, and along with dealing with immigration, and along with dealing with national security, can help ensure that we get the right Supreme Court justices elected, and can help be a moral voice to our country, just as President Obama advanced his pro-gay agenda and pro-abortion agenda, that we have a candidate that will endorse a strong pro-family message and will endorse a strong pro-life message and will help get those right people appointed to the Supreme Court. We are fooling ourselves to do it the other way, to do it with the outside flair stuff first, the persona, the big persona, as opposed to dealing with the issues that matter most. 866-34-TRUTH. A lot more to talk about, but let me get some calls. We'll start in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bud, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, Dr. Meyer, Michael, first time I've ever heard you on the radio. I don't know. I wonder about how and who makes you the be-all, know-all. I mean, are you sure of Donald Trump's soul and the fact that he is or is not a Christian? Could you categorically confirm that he is or is not a Christian?
Well, he's told us he's not. He's told us in every possible way that he's not. He has no clue who God is, no clue what's in the Bible, no clue what sin is, no clue of the need for forgiveness. He is harsh and cruel and denigrating and lying about others. He freely defames. He has boasted about his affairs with married women and has never gotten up and said, I regret that. I've repented of that. He has told us loudly and clearly, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, that he is anything but a Christian. So I've listened
First
to him
and foremost,
carefully.
He doesn't confess to us his sins. He confessed. That's between he and God. Okay?
But he said he has not. He says he's a good person, Bud, and he doesn't need forgiveness.
Well, how long ago, you know, I hear all these things about what he has said in the past.
He said it a couple of days ago, Bud. He said it a couple of days ago. Bud, he said it a couple of days ago. Sir, you're not listening. Sir, excuse me. Excuse me. I've been on the radio in Raleigh for almost 8 years. The fact that you haven't listened for 8 years is not my fault, respectfully. But you're not listening now. I hope he changes today, sir. I hope he has a radical experience with Jesus today and becomes an on-fire, born-again follower of Jesus, in which case I would reevaluate my opposition to him as a candidate. Okay? But I heard what he said just a couple of days ago. All right? I'm listening very carefully to what he said. He said, he is a good person and he doesn't need forgiveness. That tells me he has no clue who God is, no clue what sin is, no clue what the gospel is. He has no idea what's in the Bible. He does not know the Lord. That is self-evident. If you believe what he says as of this week. All right? So is this week current? I'm sorry to laugh. Is it any wonder why our dear caller, who for the first time turned this show on, even though we've got some massive stations in Raleigh and have been on in Raleigh, North Carolina, for just about 8 years now, is it any wonder when he doesn't even listen to what Donald Trump said in the last few days? And he doesn't listen to me when I'm trying to talk, and then hangs up. Is it any wonder why he's not hearing the issues clearly? I'm sorry to laugh. It's just, I had to mute him. He was still on the phone. We didn't hang up on him. He heard every word I was saying. I had to mute him because when someone's trying to talk over me constantly and I can't get a word in, I've got to be polite to listeners and make sure that you can hear one of us. And I had to say what I had to say. Sir, you need to listen. It's a great, great tool to listen. Yeah, very helpful. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Winston-Salem. Monique, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I just started listening to your station, and I was just listening to the comments that you were making. And I think one of the main things in order to get this country together in this nation is that we have got to acknowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as understanding what God has set up for us. We are so blessed and so privileged to have the country where we can freely worship God, and yet we have allowed so many different things to happen. I am against a lot of different things, but one thing I always say, too, no sin is any greater than anything else. It's sad that some people have put this country in positions that this country as a whole does not agree with. But I do believe that once we start on that path, that things will be better. We get better. God does not acknowledge me. He does not give respect. We are to respect him. We are to respect his word. And I believe wholeheartedly that that's where it has to start at.
Yeah, Monique, I'm really with you. And look, America is not a theocracy, meaning we don't have Christianity as the state religion and everyone is forced to follow it or be executed or some horrific thing like that. But yeah, we do believe that if we have a leader who governs all the people, he governs the atheists as fairly as the Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, yeah, governs everyone fairly. But that leader is a God-fearing person.
Exactly.
He gets down on his knees and said, God, we need your help. We have sinned. Sure. Who's not afraid to call for a national day of prayer where we humble ourselves. That, to me, opens the door for repentance and blessing. And it helps call us to repent. Because, look, the biggest problem, Monique, is that the church has compromised in the nation. And because we have not been the salt and we have not been the light, we're in the mess we're in. So to me, we need to do our repenting and seeking of God, and then we need to do our best to elect a leader who will be God-fearing and unashamed of their faith, while at the same time, they know we have to lead the whole nation. Hey, Monique, thank you for the call, and thanks for finding us in Winston-Salem. Been on the air for a good number of years there. Glad to finally connect with you. God bless.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I had the Mike Bickle quote to play for you and then another Rachel Maddow one. Rather than doing that today, I'll try to get to that tomorrow. But let me just summarize. Mike Bickle's position was that God is bringing his people back to the land, his Jewish people back to the land in different ways. One is to woo them, and one is through hardship. And that he's done this historically. In the Bible, as brutal as it sounded, God said Assyria was the rod of his anger. In other words, he used Assyria to bring judgment on his people. And Nebuchadnezzar, who exiled the people of Judah, was called my servant Nebuchadnezzar, which would mean, as horrific as it would be, that biblical theology would say that God even raised up Adolf Hitler, even though everything he did was horrific and ugly and despicable in God's sight, that somehow God raised him up. Now, some say, well, how could that be? Well, that's a whole other discussion. But that out of that, out of the horrors of the Holocaust, the modern state of Israel was born, and it would not have been born without of that. As for saying that Oprah is a forerunner to the Antichrist, Mike Bickle believes that at the end of the age, there's going to be like a harlot church, a false religion that does good but has a false spirituality, and he looks at Oprah as one of the prophets of that, of one of the early ones that has this whole spirituality thing, but then she does good, and she helps many people, and that was his point, not that she is, in that sense, a forerunner of the Antichrist. When you see Oprah, you know the Antichrist is near. All right, before I go back to your calls, if you live in Charlotte, North Carolina, or work in Charlotte, North Carolina, or go in and out of the city regularly, please, please go to don'tdoitcharlotte.com. There's no punctuation, D-O-N-T, don'tdoitcharlotte.com. Please go there. Find out what the mayor and city council are trying to push through. And you need to act quickly. You need to find out what it's about. You can do that in a few minutes at the website. You need to sign the petition. And then you need to call the city council, politely say, please vote against this new bill. Please vote against the new non-discrimination ordinance. It's absolutely going to be wrong for the city. It's going to, for many reasons, be a discriminatory bill, not a non-discrimination bill. So sign the petition, call the city council. There's a rally. There are other things you can be involved with. Five simple steps. But a few you can do right at your computer or right by your phone. So please do it. It's very important. I'm raising my voice on the airwaves throughout Greater Charlotte to say, go to don'tdoitcharlotte.com. It'd take you 3 minutes to read what this is about, to sign the petition. Then if you have time, call the city council members. 866-34-TRUTH. Stacy in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to start off by saying I agree with you 100% about how we should vote. But my question to you is, this election, we seem to have some candidates that we could vote for, of course, besides Donald Trump, that would reflect our values. But what if there were not anyone in the race that was any different than Donald Trump? Say we had three or four different men or women that represented the same type of values that Donald Trump represents. What would you do then as far as voting?
Yeah, if that was the case, and thankfully it's not, so it's all theoretical. We've got quite a few candidates who are anything but. At that point, I would have to say we need to find a third party. We need to find who is a candidate we can back, and now say time to find a third party. No more time to play around with this. That's what we have to do. We find the candidate that represents our values, and then at that point we say let's find a third party. Then that's what I would do at that point. I'd find the right candidate, and then I'd say let's raise up a movement around that person that stands for these particular values.
Okay, and then just one quick follow-up question. If Donald Trump does win the nomination for the Republican Party, and it's he and Hillary, what are you going to do?
Well, I've already thought about it, and I will pray about it. I have to say that honestly, under no circumstances could I vote for Hillary, could I vote for Bernie Sanders. And someone says, yeah, but if you don't vote for Trump, then you're voting for one of them. Well, not necessarily. When I am casting a vote, I am saying that I am wanting to make a difference. I'm believing in this person. I want to put myself behind them. So I really have to pray about it, honestly. I could see potentially voting for him. It would certainly be with a lot of trepidation. Dennis Prager said, had all these reasons not to back Trump. He said, but if it was Trump versus Hillary, of course he'd vote for Trump. I'm not there. I couldn't say, of course. I would honestly have to pray and say, Lord, I'm just your son, your servant. I don't know much. You rule the universe. What's the best thing to do here? So that's my honest answer. You know, when I have clarity, hopefully it won't come to that. But if it does, then we'll address it. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Take care.
Bye. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Salt Lake City. Carlos, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I wanted to quickly say that I agree with you about some of the things you're saying. And I'm not really excited about, you know, Trump's personality and all that. But as far as his beliefs and things like that, you know, we're really electing not a pastor in chief. And I think you are aware of that. And the reason why I say that is we've had a lot of people in the past that sound real good, you know, and say things and then turn around and totally just turn their back on what they promised, you know. And
but who's done the opposite of that so far? Carlos, we have – all right, so Donald Trump, we have no clue where he's going. He's changed political parties from what I've read at least 5 times, okay? From day to day, he likes you, he hates you. I've never seen anyone as petulant, immature, disrespectful, unworthy of presidential status in my life, in my lifetime.
No, actually,
as Donald Trump. And hang on, let me just say this, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Character does matter. Morality does matter. And
yes,
I have no clue where I have no clue where he'd come down on these things. I do know that some of the candidates, I'll just talk about Ted Cruz, Robin Doris, he has absolutely stood by his principles. He said he's going to do this. That's why so many senators hate him, because he's called out the Washington cartel, the Washington establishment. And according to the 2 leading organizations that check out how you voted, one has him at 100% conservative, the other 97% conservative. And some of them say, we have not had a candidate like this in decades with this track record. And from people who've known him since his teen years, when he memorized the Constitution and went around debating these issues in schools and giving presentations, he's been consistently this for decades. Now, maybe some of the other candidates are just as consistent. But for sure, I have confidence that at least I know the track record of Ted Cruz and his commitment to the Lord. I have not the slightest clue which way Donald Trump would go as elected.
Well, what I'm mainly, you know, trying to emphasize is what they will do, including, you know, the one you just mentioned. I was going to say Rubio, but not Rubio, but I just forgot his name suddenly. But anyway, my main concern is what they will do compared to what they have done and said once they're in office.
Yeah, so that's the thing. We have no clue what Trump would do. Ted Cruz, for example, he's got a great track record already. Maybe some of the others do as well. My bottom line, everything is going to get very intense. Keep close to Jesus.